What is your G-word? What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What is your D-word? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine, what if it did work?
Are you a startup or a business owner looking to collaborate with industry-leading influencers on social media? Then sign up at accessmynetwork.com and start your brand awareness campaigns or lead gen campaigns on our platform. Again, it's accessmynetwork.com.
What if it did work?
Alrighty, everybody, another day, another episode, another Wednesday. I'm super excited. I've got my first guest that was actually referred to me. We're part of the same organization stages. So I don't know whether they think highly of me or they think highly of you or they think highly of both of us. But after reading everything about you, you are so aligned with everything that I talk about with mind, body, spirit, having everything in alignment and all that. And I got to say, welcome to What If It Did Work, Craig. How's it going? Craig Bruce.
Hey, Omar, it's great to be here. And you know what? I'm going to go with the line that they think highly of both of us, right?
Exactly.
And that's why they've put us together. So I'm delighted. I love what you do. I love your message around stop sitting on your dream and just act on it. Just do it, man. More and more people need to hear that.
Well, I mean, people don't realize, and I tell this, I'm dating myself. I had my 30th year reunion the other day, and it was pushed back a year because I guess we were still trying to flatten the curve. And a big class, but guy never seen. He's like, I heard you're a speaker, you're an author, and he's like, I just need motivation. I need some accountability. What can you tell me? And I wasn't trying to be a jerk, and I'm like, well, put it to you this way. If you need accountability, I want you to know you're closer to death right now than you are actually your birth date. So if that doesn't motivate you and get you off your butt to do something. And he looked at me and he knew what he took the message in. And he's like, thank you. Because, I mean, we know plenty of people that didn't have the luck or the gratitude or, you know, just God didn't want them to be here so long. And that's what I tell people, do it now. There's no tomorrow.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, there isn't, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, and this is hard for most people, including myself, live in the moment, you know, live in the present. You know, I have two dogs, Aussie Doodles, and if we lived our lives like our dogs, we'd be in a better place, right? What do I mean by that? They live in the present. They wag their tail, not their tongue. They get up in the morning and what do? They go straight for the water. They stretch. They go for a walk. They poop. Man, just think about that. And they live in the present. If we lived our lives like that, what? I don't know. What do you think, Omar?
Well, you want to know my opinion on why dogs live in the present? Why they're so happy? It's because I believe they're like, hey, I'm only here 10 to 15 years. Yep. Let me live every day to the fullest. You see, all of us think we're going to be George Burns or that we're going to live to be 100. And that's not the case. If the Grim Reaper, St. Peter, whomever you believe in, said, hey, you know what, Bruce? I'm only going to give you 30 years, you would maximize that time. But Craig, nobody has that. Nobody knows it. And
wow.
That's what I'm saying. A dog lives its life because he knows he's only here short term. And the dog's happy to see you. You've gone like for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour. He's super excited because that's in the past. And he's just happy. He's living in the present. And he's like, thank you for being here. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for today. Thank you for now. Now let's go do something fun.
You know what? I had not thought about that. That man, I'm writing that down. That was a mic drop moment for me. Dogs are happy and live in the present because They know they only have a limited time and they want to make the best of it. I love that. Man, I'm going to use that again and again.
But think about that, because I know we're going to be talking about burnout and mindset, but it's because people don't appreciate so many people. They're caught. Now, you're going to be bent and twisted if you're living in the past and you're living in the future instead of being in complete awareness and living now. But the person that's like burning, getting right, going red line full out in business, he thinks that, you know, he sees the timeline that he's got another 40 years. But how about if I redline it now? But you don't even know if you have 40 minutes left.
Right. You don't.
Life is too short. I mean, I was an entrepreneur and I lived like that. And I worked in corporate America.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's even more insane. Work being completely on the verge of burnout, that you're physically and you're mentally putting so much stress on your body for someone else's dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way of looking at it. And, you know, we are now seeing a mass exodus from corporate. Right. You hear about it every day. People are leaving that corporate environment. Entrepreneurs, the number of entrepreneurs launching businesses, I think, don't have the statistics for this, but my sense is at a pretty, you know, pretty high rate. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
No, but it's funny because people are like, oh, we hate all these Gen Zs and these millennials because they don't want to stick it out. Maybe they're just more evolved and they realize I don't need to take crap. If I'm going to take crap, I'm going to be a solopreneur. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. It's not that they feel entitled. It's just maybe they're just more being in the now, being in the present. Because I remember my mom telling me for years, you know, I hate corporate America, but stick with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, but mom, I've seen you since the moment I was born till like they gave you your pink papers, but that's what you want from me. And that's what like a lot of boomers are saying. Yeah. They don't understand, but they don't understand that we're living in a different world. We've evolved.
We are.
No, Exxon, there's no publicly traded corporation that's going to be like, hey, I want you around from start to finish. We'll give you a pension, which nobody has pensions anymore.
Yeah, right.
We're going to give you the parade. We're going to give you the gold watch. And thank you for your service.
Now, I think there are a few organizations out there like that. You know, Fortune puts out their top 50 best employers to work for. So there are a few. I want to come back to the Gen Z, Gen X, whatever the millennials, whatever we're calling. I think, and you alluded to it, I think in addition to wanting to work for an organization who has a mission that is aligned with their mission, the other thing is they saw how corporations treated their parents and their grandparents. And they're like, screw that. I'm not going to be treated that way.
Exactly. We talk bad about the Gen Zs and millennials, but they saw what their parents, their grandparents.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Generation X, and I saw my mom just was hating life and hating on it and would come back home flustered. And she originally wanted me to withhold the 20, 30, 40 years. And it's like, she did that until AT&T, Ma Bell, whatever you want it said, call them, said, hey, you know what? You're making too much money, Nelly. Here's a 3-year buyout. Take care. Farewell. Best of luck on your journey. And the difference is, if I saw that, like what you said, imagine a millennial or a Gen Z that sees their grandparents, their parents, and possibly uncles, aunts, and everybody say, oh my gosh, I hate this. I hate working for Exxon. I hate working for AT&T. I hate working for this publicly traded corporation.
Yeah. 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 I think we are at least in my lifetime, an all-time high of leaders being burned out. You know, there was a recent global poll by a very reputable global development firm, and human development, human capital development. And there were 17,000 employees over about almost 2,000 companies that were surveyed. And those leaders, 60% of them were said they were used up, felt used up or burned out by the end of the day. And of that 60%, almost half of them said they were going to make a change. They had to make a change.
You're going to laugh. You discussed earlier, you know, Fortune magazine's top companies to work for.
Yeah.
And at the time, my last job, corporate America, I became a financial advisor for Edward Jones Investments.
Yeah.
Like 3 years in a row is the number one company to work for.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I don't know if it was the partners that they interviewed, if they bought that.
Interesting.
But everybody that we worked together, I mean, we called it Uncle Eddie, but it was like, oh my gosh. And it was like Survivor Island. We would have these meetings and like every week somebody would disappear. And I remember one of our trainings, I'm like, and I was there for years and it was like, I just laugh whenever somebody's like, do you think I should work for this company? It's rated number one or number two.
Uh-huh.
Well, who's doing the ratings?
Yeah. Yeah. There is some truth in that.
It's all skewed. It's like Entrepreneur Magazine when they start listing. And I was with franchises for over 20 years and they had this list, top companies to buy. But then again, it's like when you watch CNBC and they're touting a stock or a mutual fund, but somehow the commercial for that company is somewhere in the segment.
Yeah. But yeah, you got to be a bit skeptical.
Yes. Like an Entrepreneur Magazine, like Supercuts is always there. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but lo and behold, they're like one of the biggest advertisers. Now, my question is Regis Corporation, a publicly traded corporation, possibly skewing because of ad spend? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's human nature.
Right.
We can all be bought. Now, Craig, this is my story for you.
Okay.
I know this is all about burnout. What was your tipping point? What was the...
Yeah.
That you took a step back and you're like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah. So imagine I'm boarding my flight home and it's already been a 15-hour day. And as my Southern grandma would say, I was sick as a dog. And because I flew so much means I had 2.5 million miles on one airline and 1 million miles on another. I always got upgraded. So I take my seat and the flight attendant approaches me and Omar thinks she's going to offer me something to drink. And she looked at me and said, "You look awful."
At least she was honest, right?
Well, I always like people who tee it up and who are very honest. And I turned and I had a window seat and I looked at my reflection. And honestly, if the bags under my eyes had gotten any bigger, I knew she was going to come back and say, "Hey, Craig, you got to put those in the overhead bin."
Mm-hmm.
And then,
well, you probably had two check-ins, two carry-ons. So you probably would have had to check those in.
Yeah, right? I would have had exactly. Actually, I think this was just a day trip. So I just had my briefcase, but, as I was staring at myself, man, Omar, tears started welling up.
Really?
And I said to myself, "Craig, you're a grown-ass man crying in public. Stop it. Your life sucks."
You see, but you're being honest with yourself. A lot of times you just keep on lying. You had that moment, that breakthrough.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, I never got that flight attendant's name, but I should thank her. You know, I should have written one of those little complimentary.
Well, if one of the million miles is on American, they give you that little form you know, for outstanding customer service.
But you know what? It was so interesting because to everybody else, my life appeared to be amazing. You know, I was this partner in a global management consulting firm. I'd been an expat in Brazil and Mexico. I was consulting with clients across the Americas and in Europe. So from the outside, people thought I was killing it. And truth was, I was killing myself.
Yeah, but people always think that you're killing it. It's like the social media, you know, they see, you know, people never ask, how are you? Or like they do ask, but it's more like they just want you to say, I'm doing okay. I'm living the dream.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with social media. They're totally. Like, well, Craig has the lifestyle because, you know, it's like you've got that Brito painting behind you. So it's like, well, Craig's killing it, you know, without, because perception is always on, like, you know, that superficial level. And that's why, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you get upgrades. You're a million mile flyer, two different airlines. So you're living the dream.
I am. And then, so here's what happened. So I get home, 18 hour day. Next day, I landed in my doctor's office and she looked at me and said, bed rest.
Really?
Yeah. And Omar, you know what my version of bed rest was? I said, I can do this. You know what my version of bed rest was? I'm like, I got this.
I can only imagine what you're going to tell me.
I got this. You know what my version of bed rest was? It was my laptop, my cell phone.
And you're doing work. Right?
And conference calls from my bed.
Wow.
And it was, honestly, it was in that moment that I knew that my current lifestyle had become my new normal and that it was killing me. And something had to change.
Well, it's good that happened right then and there, because usually what would have happened is you would have either stroked out, you would have had an aneurysm, you would have had like a major heart attack. So you had you were getting awareness right there instead of, like, you know, the ghost of Christmas future or something like that visiting you and saying, hey, Craig, here.
I like that. You know, that movie, man, that scene in that movie just popped in my head. That was thanks for sharing that. That was absolutely true.
I laugh, but that's usually when people literally change, is, you know, some unforeseen, because, you know, we all love this comfort. We're in comfort until that either you get fed up, that pain. It keeps on stacking and stacking until it's so unbearable. You're like, man, you know what? Whatever the future is, whatever something different is, let me try it. It can't be as painful as that. Or some unforeseen, whether it's a health or, you know, bad news, or this might possibly happen if you don't change that lifestyle.
Yeah. You know, and this is what I find with a lot of my clients. So, you know, a bird doesn't know it's in the air until it's not. A fish doesn't know it's in water until it's not. I didn't know that I was killing myself until I was.
Now, do you think you're addicted to, like, either success, or you had, like, that little voice inside your head saying, Craig, you're lazy unless you work 16, 17, 18 hour days, or a little bit of both?
Yeah, man. So what a great question and very insightful. It was, and you know what, it took me years of getting some help to really figure this out. For me, it wasn't the fact. So yes, I was addicted. I was addicted to the work. I was addicted to the recognition I got. I was addicted to what it allowed me to do, the travel, et cetera, et cetera. And I was a perfectionist.
Aren't we all?
We are.
Just
at some point. And it wasn't until I realized that that perfectionism was coming from some early childhood events where I felt like I wasn't good enough.
No wonder we connect. We're kindred spirits.
Yeah.
My success, whether it was like an undergrad, a graduate, everything was, I always felt unworthy. I always felt maybe if I did this, then I'll be worthy. If I did this, then I'll be happy. If I bought this, then I'll be successful. And it's the kicker is you'll never accomplish that till you take a step back. You're in a complete awareness. You're like, I'm living in my past. And I am worthy and I am successful just by being alive and, you know, loving my life instead of killing myself over something.
Amen, brother. Amen. And so when I finally realized the couple of incidences in my early, you know, actually early high school, very early high school that, I'll share one with you if that's okay.
Hey, you're in a safe environment with people.
I know, but a lot of people are going to hear this, and I haven't shared this a ton. It's just kind of beginning to. So, imagine this really smart eighth grader. All right, that was me. In advanced English class in eighth grade, and I'm standing up in front of the room reading. I remember it so well. Evangeline by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Okay, a poem.
Is that stuff we read at LSU, man.
I know.
Blew my mind when you said eighth grade.
Hey, do you read at LSU? I didn't know you guys read.
Well, but you're gonna laugh. I took those courses, English Lit. Well, I'm an arts and science guy, but I thought women would really be wooed if they. Uh-huh. That's all BS. That could kill us.
Yeah. Here's the line. I said, he laid his head on her bosom instead of bosom.
Minor mistake.
My class laughed at me. My teacher laughed at me. I wanted to crawl under the table. And it was in that moment that I realized that it was programmed into me, Omar, that I got to be perfect. If not, people are going to laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
And that followed me for the next 50 years. And the behaviors played out in things like needing to be perfect, dressing a certain way, not speaking out in meetings until I knew what other people were going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And procrastinating because I was afraid of not being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I figured that out and kind of said, screw it. After some good work, internal work.
Internal work. We all have to do the work. It's a process and it sucks because it's work. Yeah. But I mean, here, I'll tell you something since I've rarely told anybody. Well, mom and dad divorced before I was born. So product of the early 70s. So nothing uncalled of. It wasn't until I was in high school that it was at 50% divorce rate. So I always felt different, unworthy. Well, they had me in elementary, like in the gifted program. I already felt different.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel like, oh my gosh, this guy is super smart. This guy's a nerd. Wow. This guy's this. This guy's that. Because it was like that stigma. I just wanted to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
So when it came to junior high, I dumbed it down because I didn't want to be like seen as like, you know, this exceptional, this smart guy. And even to this day, whether it writing my book or, you know, I always try to play off like, you know, all shucks, I'm like the, you know, the guy next door. But clearly anybody, if you track record, master's degree, entrepreneur. This
right.
It's clearly I'm not just some guy that just woke up and I'm. But it was always that I don't want to be seen as I am different. So I had the exact opposite.
I get that. You know, and so if I think about how this conversation relates to what I'm doing with my clients, so I am working and guiding executives and entrepreneurs who are struggling with burnout. And I help them reignite their energy and live a life of clarity, intention, and integrity. And I'm doing that through a proprietary process that I built based on my own journey. And it's a 12-week one-on-one coaching process that's built on four pillars: mindset, nourish, restore, and move. And you know, you talk about mindset a lot. And, you know, so part of the discussions I'm having with these executives who and entrepreneurs who are very successful, they can buy anything they want, right? Is around mindset. And there are lots of definitions of mindset out there. My definition is mindset is all about who you want to be and how you're going to show up every day. And so we have these discussions over this 12-week period about who do I want to be and how am I going to show up? And so for me, you know, on my journey, clearly defining that was instrumental in me moving forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, what struck me, and this it's so basic, but so many people do not understand. These are three pillars of success. And I don't care if it's landscaping. I don't care if it's being a CEO, a COO, solopreneur. You need clarity.
Yeah.
You need intentions.
Yeah.
And for sure in any relationship, because business is a relationship, whether it's a personal relationship or relationships in general, integrity. If you don't have integrity, then, you know, there's zero trust and there's no relationship.
Yeah. And I would say integrity. Yes, I agree with that. And I would say another component of integrity is integrity with yourself.
You see me writing because I'm selfish. I use this stuff. I use this for my audience, but
absolutely.
But you just blew. If I didn't put my pen down, it would have dropped when you said that, because integrity within yourself is so mind blowing. But people lie to themselves. That's the first person they lie to.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure for a while, it's not that bad. I don't have burnout. It wasn't until somebody out of the kindness of their heart, she meant it in a good way. She didn't mean it like, oh, you look like crap. Yeah. You know, go fly Spirit.
Yeah.
it was authentic concern that, and you could have lied to yourself if you didn't have that aha moment. And you could have been like, well, you know, I'm flying, you know, it's my biorhythms, maybe my horoscope.
Right.
You know, because we all lie when in relationships. Yes, you know, my wife has, you know, we're not talking, we're just in the dry spell, but things are going to change.
Yeah.
No, they don't change until you actually be honest with yourself and integrity within yourself. That when you said that, it was like, wow, that you know, if
yeah,
but and I tell people not only in my book, but you know, we all have the tools within us, but we just pretend we don't know,
right?
Like it's everything that's out there we already know, but it's like, how do I become a better husband? How do I be a better wife? How do I lose weight? But we all pretend like we don't know. We're waiting for the Dalai Lama, or we're waiting for the next guru, the next book, the next diet book. And it's like, no, just use common sense and like clarity. I'm sure when you have these clients, the first thing, they're completely lost. They're like, they've lost that focus. They've lost that clarity.
I want to finish a thought on integrity with yourself and what that looks like. So, because that sounds good in theory, what that looks like is if you say you're going to get up in the morning and execute your morning ritual, which, by the way, is one of my three secrets to reigniting your energy, is that you actually do that. Mm-hmm. If you say you're going to go to work out, or you're going to go for a walk, and that's part of your afternoon ritual or your evening ritual, and we have that scheduled at 6 p.m. after dinner or 7 p.m., that you actually do that. For me, that's what integrity with yourself means. And to build upon your point is, who do we talk to the most throughout the day?
Me, myself.
We talk to ourselves. Yeah. Talk to ourselves. And so having integrity with those conversations.
So rituals equals habits.
Yeah. So so what I have found in coaching several hundred executives over the last 5-6 years is that there are really, Amar, three secrets to these executives and entrepreneurs moving their life forward. Is it okay if I share those with you?
I want you to. If not, you're going to share them with me off camera regardless.
Okay, we'll do it here. We'll do it here. And by the way, I actually have a complimentary download that we can put in the speaker notes so that
we will definitely.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you. So that your audience can download, because there's a lot more detail than we can get in here. So the first secret is create rituals. And I'm talking about a morning ritual and an evening ritual. So let's drill down into those for a minute. Your morning ritual, you talk about intention. I intentionally use the word ritual and not routine. Most people.
Just the words. A ritual has more meaning and more power.
It does. And absolutely. So I am intentionally using that word.
Mm-hmm.
So the morning ritual is really designed to set you up for success throughout your day. It gives you more control over your day, and ultimately makes you more productive. And, with greater productivity comes greater profitability, or at least profits, or at least revenue, right?
The good stuff
that people are interested in, right? Mm-hmm. Because what do most of us do the minute what do most of us do the minute we wake up? What's the first thing we reach for?
Our phone.
Yeah. It's the wrong thing to do, because it distracts us. Most of my clients will open their email. And when you open your email, you lose control of your day. The control goes from you to whoever sent the email.
Hmm.
So we create rituals, and there are a couple of habits. There are lots of habits in the actual download that folks can look at. But the two that the three that I have found with regard to a morning ritual, and then I'll give you a bonus. One is wake up at the same time every day, even on the weekends. If you're going to sleep in on the weekends, no more than an hour difference, because our body loves routine. And with that, our circadian rhythm, which manages our sleep and wake cycle, that's that internal circadian rhythm, gets accustomed to that. That's one. Second is hydrate before you caffeinate. Most people will reach for that cup of coffee first thing in the morning. The wrong thing to do. Because during the night, so our bodies are about 2/3 water and our brains 80% water. We dehydrate during the night for multiple reasons. We're mouth breathers, the sodium in our food. So when we wake up, we are dehydrated. That can lead to brain fog. It can lead to our body not functioning, moving properly. So the first thing in the morning you should do as part of your morning ritual is drink at least 8 ounces of water. And then the third thing is get outside and get some sunlight and get a little bit of movement. Now, I lived in Chicago for 25 years, and it was hard in January to get outside, and we didn't see the sun, right?
That's easy for me being in South Florida. But
yeah, it's easy for me being in LA, right?
Yeah, but majority of the country,
getting out during the wintertime, you still, even if it's cloudy, you still will get some benefits from the rays that are coming through the cloud. And what that does is that begins to reset that circadian rhythm. It also boosts your cortisol. And then the forward movement just gets you going, Okay, so that's the morning ritual. The bonus is, and this one, there's all kinds of, and everything that I am recommending is based on science. And what I find is there's so much crap out there on the internet.
I'm sure.
So when clients work with me, I bring the science with studies to support it. The other component of a morning ritual is when I wake up, before I get out of bed, I ask myself three questions. The first question I ask myself is, how am I going to show up today? And I get very clear about how am I going to show up today. The second is, what actions do I need to take to move me closer to my vision, my goals, whatever that is? And I've actually figured that out the night before. And the third is, for what am I grateful?
You know, the one thing that people, all walks that are successful in their own, because, you know, success can be defined in many ways.
Totally.
Gratitude, yeah. and the state of being in gratitude.
Yeah.
And I usually, when I post videos, Thursdays are my personal development woo-woo.
Yeah.
And yes, gratitude. I just spoke to Ray Higdon, and he said the same thing. I can, you know, coaches from,
yeah,
it's not that hard. And especially, you know, when somebody's, there's nothing to be grateful for. It's like, well, you're alive right now. You know, you're healthy. You're able to bitch at me that, you know, you're hating your life. You know, yeah, your kids are alive. Let's see.
Yeah.
You and I are streaming this. We both have AC. You know, we both have running water.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy because and this for years, like the happiest people were from Fiji. And it's also one of the poorest countries in the world.
Right.
But if you think about it, it's because they're in gratitude. It's not like they wake up and like, you know what? I need a 7 Series BMW. I need a new Tesla X. I need that high rise.
Yeah.
You know, we get bogged down and we major in things that don't matter when actually just the simple fact that we're alive, well, and we're breathing.
And there's all kinds of science and research as to why that is. So Be in a state of gratitude. The evening ritual is really designed to protect your last hour before you go to bed. Because what do most of us do the last hour before we go to bed? What are we doing?
We're catching up on the last 7 episodes of Ozark. We're social media stalking our exes.
We're scrolling, right?
And we're reading. We're getting all hopped up because we're reading our friends' political and social views that don't match us.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So the point here is we're on electronics. We've got bright lights overhead. Just even little things like when you go to the bathroom to do your final whatever you do, flush your teeth, brush your teeth, take off your makeup, exposure to bright lights. People don't realize that. All of these bright lights are sending the wrong signal to our body through our retina, and especially the blue light. So it's impacting our ability to get into deep and REM sleep. That's the kind of stuff that repairs our body, repairs our brain, consolidates our memory. So that's one. Shut off all of your electronics at least 30 minutes, preferably an hour. But hey, this is about progress, not perfection. I'll take 15 minutes and then we'll move to 30 minutes.
And then it's all about baby steps. It's all about constant, never-ending improvement.
Like,
you know, when Dr. Joe D and all that about, you know, meditating, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and everybody's like, whoa, well, maybe start with like 1 minute, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You can't build, you know, when you say preferably an hour, hey, let's start, you know, 15 minutes.
Absolutely. I'll take 15 minutes. And then we see how you feel, right? And then the other part of the morning, the evening ritual, which actually starts in the afternoon, Omar, is really end caffeine by 2 p.m. in the day. Why? Because the half-life of caffeine, meaning it stays in your body, is up 6 to sometimes 8 hours.
Wow, never knew that.
Yeah, depending upon the strength of the caffeine, and that impacts your sleep. And it actually blocks, get this, it blocks a chemical, a neurotransmitter that promotes sleepiness.
I think Howard Schultz is going to tackle you when he
So I remember when I was consulting, right? When I was consulting, I'd run down to Starbucks at 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, or living in Brazil, right? You know, we talked about living in Brazil. They'd have their cafezinho, right, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the wrong thing to do. It keeps you awake, and it prevents you from getting into those deeper sleep cycles.
Howard Schultz is right now saying, we have other stuff that you can buy and eat at Starbucks. Just in case.
Yeah, he is. Of course, right now he's more worried, I think, about the unions trying to organize the Starbucks stores,
but,
right?
But he possibly might need to take your course and hire you as a coach to come out of retirement for what, this is his third time? Dude, you're a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
You can step back, relax. You know, the stock is depressed because the whole economy is depressed, dude.
My guess is once you've created something like that, it's like giving birth to a child.
And somebody wanted to correct me because I said he's the founder of Starbucks. No, he is not the founder of the name because he bought, you know, but he is the founder of what we know Starbucks
for sure.
to be. The experience, not the going to Seattle, to Pikes Peak to buy coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So secret number two is eat mindfully. And so eat mindfully. There are lots of definitions out there, but it's really about how, what, and when you eat. And just a couple of things here is that most of us eat our meals in front of our laptop because we're doing it over lunch or evening, we're in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. That's not eating mindfully. And what we know from a science perspective is that up to 20% of your digestive process actually begins before food hits your stomach. It begins when you, so Omar, imagine that you just have bitten into this big, juicy lemon. Just think about that for a moment.
Are we going to make lemonade?
Yeah, you're going to make lemonade. Did your mouth start watering maybe?
Always, because it's the memory.
Absolutely.
Very bitter.
Right. So the point here with regard to eating without distractions is that's actually when the digestive process begins. When you think about food, smell food, see food, right? Mm-hmm. And if we are eating distractedly, I think that's a word, then up to 20% of that digestive process may not be optimized. And if that's not being optimized, then there's no way it's going to be converted into energy, food at that cellular level.
Well, you also, the science says you overeat. Because
another great point.
Yes, because you're mindlessly watching TV or you're on your computer.
Absolutely.
Or you're standing up doing something else. So the mindless eating means you don't know that you're overeating and you keep on eating. And you're like, oh, yeah, you forget that you had that snack.
You are so spot on because it takes, we know from a science perspective, you are spot on that it takes 20 minutes before your brain begins to recognize fullness.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just munching away mindlessly, you're going to overeat. Okay. So secret number three, and this one surprises most people. And for me, this is the mic drop moment. It's secret number three is set boundaries. If you're going to move your life forward, you have to set boundaries. And boundaries is a good word because boundaries communicate to others what's important to you. And boundaries give you back your control.
Well, it's clarity there because you have non-negotiables.
Oh man.
And you
know what? The universe brought us together. I use that same word, but sorry, I interrupted you.
No. We're clicking because we are like-minded people. The thing is, when you have clarity and you tell people what your non-negotiables are, then they know these are your non-negotiables. Yeah. What happens a lot of times is you keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
And you think they're non-negotiables, but since, you know, they're going over your non-negotiable. So you're like, okay, well, maybe this one time because I don't want to be seen as a jerk. I don't want to be seen as this or that. So that little voice inside your head, now you moved the line and it's no longer really a non-negotiable. Because if it was, it'd be a non-negotiable, period.
Absolutely. So, man, you and I are so aligned. I'm loving this conversation because clients say to me, how do I set boundaries? And I say, first and foremost, the first step, get clear on your values and your non-negotiables. So I'll tell you mine. My values and my non-negotiables, first and foremost, is my health and my lifestyle. If I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of my aging parents. I can't take care of my clients. I can't take care of my dogs. I can't take care of my long-term relationships with friends. So health and lifestyle comes first, even when I'm traveling. Second is long-term relationships. So I am proud that I have maintained relationships from people all the way back to high school. And see them when I'm in North Carolina, not just following them on Facebook, my friends from the university, my friends from business school, my friends from the consulting firm. And for me, my love language is quality time. So when I get to, I make it a point. And then the third is inclusion and diversity. So if you are racist, homophobic, you name it, misogynistic, never get that one right. Sexist,
don't worry,
whatever.
That's too. I graduated from LSU. I know the word. I try not to use it.
Yeah,
because I always butcher it up.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Then I have no room for you in my life. So you get clear on, you know, Brené Brown says clear is kind. It's true.
100%. 100%. I was going to tell you, my other word is reciprocity. Reciprocity. You see, you had to say
that,
it for me.
That one I've got. That one I've got.
That's why I have to go with the Southern word of, you know, the good old boy network.
Yeah.
Because the other word has too many syllables for me.
Right.
So here's my question to you.
Yeah.
Craig, how do people get to finally, because we're all at that breaking point. Once we're honest with ourselves and we look in the mirror, how do we find you so that we can hire you? We can hire your services, because sometimes when you redline it, there is no second chance. There's plenty of people either in nursing homes, or we could pass every cemetery, and there's plenty of people that redlined it. And if only they could have just stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. So the best way to reach me, and we'll put all this information in the show notes, right?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Awesome. Yeah. So the way to, so I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and we'll put those links there. If you want to reach me, it's Craig@evolvehealthandlifestyle.com. And those words are all spelled out. So Craig@evolvehealthandlifestyle.com.
Now, Craig, is there any time that you look at someone? I mean, you live in LA, so there's plenty of people like that, just like here in South Florida.
Yeah.
And you act like that flight attendant and you go, man, I don't want to be a jerk, but you really, have you ever done that to, cause I mean, there's plenty of people. I've seen so many stressed out people. I travel a lot. So I'm not that bold to tell people that, hey, you've never.
So not a perfect stranger. However, if someone engages with me in a, I have a complimentary, and we'll put this in there as well, a reignite your energy call, we will have those conversations.
Well, that's a hard conversation to have, even with an acquaintance, I mean, knowing that you've had relationships all the way back from high school, it's easy to say, you know, nobody's going to take it personal. Nobody's going to say, well, you know what, that Craig Bruce, ever since he moved outside of North Carolina, he's changed. In fact, they would see that. I've known Craig for such a long time. He means he wants the best for me. He wants me to be alive. He doesn't want me to drop dead because, you know, I want to work another 90 hours next week.
Yeah. You know what they do say? They do say I talk funny now. So I'm okay with that.
Well, that's okay. And you know what? The one thing that we spoke off camera before we started, I really do love your quote. You want to say it, or do you want me to say your quote?
So I'll say it and you can reinforce it. But so I believe that your health and lifestyle is a decision and you own it. Nobody else.
Nobody else. That, and you know, quit playing victim. It's not your genetics. It's not your DNA. It's not mom. It's not dad's fault. You know, all of us have been adults for quite a long time. We need to quit living in our history or her story and blaming. And yeah, it is a decision. And like you, Craig, I wake up, my non-negotiable is I have to work out. I used to be a marathon runner. I have a torn ACL and PCL, but I didn't have that stop me. Instead, I lift weights and I do spinning. So my non-negotiable, and people will say, well, that's selfish. A non-negotiable is not being selfish. It's being time So I want to live longer.
Yeah.
And that's the way. And yeah, if it was up to me and, you know, I could eat pizza and hot dogs and, you know, horrible food every mm-hmm. day, I would, but I'm not 18 anymore. So yeah. I'm mindful of what I eat. I'm mindful of like mindful eating, because I do know if I'm watching a football game and there's not going to be any portion control when it says there's like 20 and a little four pack, you know, I'll mow down. It's like the people that, oh, I only ate a Ben and Jerry's pint. Well, it says there it's four servings.
Yeah. And it's probably about what, 100 grams of sugar total.
Yes. I've completely, I'm only a social drinker. So I'll have my one drink or two
yeah.
drinks
yeah.
just because, but I do know that the amount of sugar, I don't care if it's a vodka and soda or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's not worth the extra calories. It's not worth the extra sugar. Then I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to work this off 2, 3, 4 times. And I tell people, we're human. If you eat bad, just be mindful.
Yeah.
You know, just don't be like, oh, screw it. Let's wait till 2023 now.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So the best way, but on social media, just Craig Bruce, they'll be able to find you.
The links in that. We'll put the link so they can check it out.
So any parting thoughts, words of wisdom that you want to tell my audience, which are like-minded people, we're all connected, because people that listen to podcasts, listen to people like you, Craig, are not the ones that watched all 4 seasons of like Ozark in 3 days.
Yeah. So, I would say, and I'm going to borrow a quote from Michael Bernard Beckwith, who is the founder of Agape Spiritual Center here in Los Angeles. Be the frequency of the life you want to live. Be the frequency of the life you want to live.
That's very powerful. And you have to do the work to know what frequency means. But, yeah. you know, if you're attracting dysfunction, if you're attracting toxicity, it's not them, it's you. You just have to change your frequency.
Yeah, because we're all energy. The universe, we're energy.
That we are. I love this conversation, and I got to tell my guy from the agency, Isaac, that, you know, thank you. Because, you know, when he's like, I want you to speak to someone, I'm like, oh, because it's always that, you know, uncertainty. And he didn't send me the one sheet for a while. I'm like, is he not sending me that? Because, you know, but
Isaac's my guy too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And he's like, you know, you guys will hit it off. So I'm going to text him afterwards and tell him.
Me too.
You're an amazing guy.
You are too, man.
And
if you make it out to LA, I make it to the East Coast periodically. I haven't been down to South Florida in a while, but let's stay connected. Okay.
I'm definitely going to cyber stalk you and
yeah, cool.
be friends with you on everything. And
awesome.
And I love the West Coast state of mind. All right.
Awesome.
Right. Thank you, brother.
Take care, my friend. Yeah. Ditto. Love you too, buddy.
How do you get influencers to talk about your business? AccessMyNetwork.com. Collaborate with industry-leading influencers on social media when you sign up. AccessMyNetwork.com. Start your brand awareness campaigns and generate leads. AccessMyNetwork.com.
I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you are? Negative thoughts come to mind when I start thinking bold. Like, why you chasing dreams? Aren't you getting kind of old? Whew. I knew I needed help. I had no self-confidence, didn't believe in myself. I tried not to feel or listen to my intuition to start a business. But before I even started, I feel like it's finished. You got a vision. And let me say, I don't care if they're your blood, got the same DNA. They can't feel how you feel, they can't see what you see. Wanna change your life, you gotta change the way you think. The thoughts in your mind is the boss of your life. Nothing but good vibes, every day I'm thinking like, what if it did work? What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if it did work? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine, what if it did work?